Bush and Richie here with your daily takeaway podcast. I've literally just had an idea about 6 seconds ago.
Wow, this is breaking news.
And I think it's a really good idea.
Okay.
Often the best ideas come out of necessity. Now, tonight, having orzo pasta, and as part of the dish, turns out we need some cream and lemon, and we don't have either at home at the moment.
Okay.
Now, the show finishes at 7 o'clock. I can just about get to the train for 25 past 7, but there's not a great deal of time either side. So I don't have time to go to any convenience store post-show and pre-catching the train. Get off the train 5 to 8. Then I just want to walk home. I don't want to delay dinner any longer.
Okay.
I could go to Costcutter or something and get some cream and some lemon.
Is it weird that anyone else feels like they're hearing his internal monologue rather than the
That's
start
exactly
of the
what's going on. That's exactly how I then came to my idea.
Okay.
Why? There's many big high street supermarkets. Why do they not have on trains a shopping trolley that's going up and down the train? So that half an hour of dead time of me commuting home, there's a, let's say, a little Tesco man going up and down the trolley, or a Tesco lady, anybody, going up and down the train, selling essential food.
So they've got, like, loaves of bread on there?
Yes.
Like, stuff that you get texted by your other half to pick up
milk
on the way, because they've not bothered. No, I don't want to get into
it here, but
they've had all day to do it, and they've not done it.
So milk, bread, I would say, would be on there.
Bin bags would be on there.
Tea bags would be on there. Coffee would be on there.
Yes, bit of change.
Yes, exactly.
For the Lecky meter.
Yeah, Lecky meter.
I don't know, I was checking it.
No, like Mufti Day tomorrow at school. You know, you got any change?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
That's great. I'm up for that. I think that's a brilliant idea.
Tesco, you can have that for free, and Sainsbury, and Asda, and any other supermarket.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Now, it is the start of a brand new week, and I want to check. It's also the start of our second week back, right? Yeah, that's right.
Feels a little bit longer, but yeah.
So it's the start of our second week back. It's the start of the week, so I want to be positive. I want to be positive. But there's just one thing that is still getting at me right now. We're all back to work. We have been for 2 weeks. The kids are all back at school. TV is all back to normal. But despite the fact we are 2.5 weeks past Christmas, my bins are still not back to normal.
They're still not back? Was it the 12th of January and they're still not back?
Correct. Is that just where I live? Normally, right, my bins collected on a Thursday. However, there's a bin being collected tomorrow at the moment because they're not back to normal. We had a collection for something on Saturday. That's not Thursday. Last week, there was a collection for something on Thursday. It's really, really confusing.
Well, we've had two cycles of bin day, okay, so far since Christmas. So we're kind of back to normal, I think, with the whole bin day thing.
So you're back to normal?
We've had two bin collections so far.
But are they on the days that you would expect them to be collected?
Yes.
That's what I don't understand.
Why are they mucking around with it?
It's really
so complicated.
Confusing. All right, so next Thursday, which is like nearly exactly a month after Christmas, that'll be the first Thursday collection since Christmas.
So do you think, is there people still with like Christmas packaging that's left?
Yes.
That's still hanging on there?
Yeah. There's still Christmas packaging. I've still got the Christmas tree outside the front of the house because that's not been collected yet because they ain't come and taken garden waste.
There's people who live in Birmingham saying, on a minute, you don't even know you're born. But still, I mean, maybe something's happened. Maybe do you need to go and check on the bin people? Are they all right?
It's not as if they're not collecting stuff. They're just not collecting it on the normal day. And it's now like 3 weeks past. What's going on?
So is this kind of eroded your confidence as being, I think you have self-styled yourself as a bin captain.
I am the bin captain.
Well, you're running a particularly sloppy ship at the moment, if you don't know whether you're coming or going.
Michelle in Weston-super-Mare says, love you, Richie, but maybe now is the time to assess your life's priorities.
That's pretty harsh advice at the start of a brand new year.
It really is. All I expect is for my bin to be collected on the day that they normally collect it. I don't understand why 3 weeks after Christmas, it's still like on a merry-go-round of different days. What's going on?
I honestly think, and we've talked about this before, I honestly think bin collections and bins have got too complicated. Like, at the front of our house now, we've got about 5 or 6 different bins. I have moaned about it before. I think it's time to go back to, because it's clearly not working, it's time to go back to one big bin. Everybody has got one gigantic school-size like wheelie bin thing, and you just chuck it all in there, and we'll deal with it later on down the line. Maybe it takes turns with high vis, different streets, and you go down and sort it. I'd happily do, like, you know, 6 hours a month sorting it than having to work it out at the time in the kitchen when I'm in my pyjamas.
Also ask the sub question, is there anything else that isn't back to normal right now? This message says, my bank account still isn't back to normal. Emma has got in touch with a right to reply from the bin industry. Emma, tell us what it is you do.
I work as a waste prevention project manager for a county council, so I've been in the waste industry for over 20 years.
Okay, so you've been in the waste trenches during the Christmas period. You've been there, you've got the tattoos. Tell us the inside scoop. What's it like?
Well, you've got to remember that every year you've got Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Day. So there's 3 extra days of service that they've got to find crews for, and they're trying to juggle the expectations of the public, they're trying to juggle the crews, they're trying to juggle bad weather, and everything gets knocked on. And depending on how many bins you have, obviously, you know, if you've got 1 week it's your recycling, 1 week it's your black bin or your normal rubbish, there's a lot of sort of, it's like Tetris. Christmas for the waste industry is like Tetris, trying to juggle everything. And then you throw in the snow that we had last week, and you might as well just give up and go home, because you can't send a bin lorry out when it's 6 inches of snow on the ground.
I was ready to be angry, but two things have just happened. One, I feel like I've had a good explanation.
Fair enough.
And two, Emma has mentioned Tetris, and now I've just got the Tetris music going around in my head.
Emma, is the... Sorry to sing at you. Has the bin world got too complicated? I was just saying earlier on, let's just go back to one big bin each. What's your say on that, Emma?
Oh, no, definitely not one big bin each. We need to be recycling. It hasn't got that much complicated. Things are changing in waste, where everybody's going to soon collect the same materials wherever you live in the country. So that's going to be simpler. But no, it's not more complicated. One bin week you put your recycling out, 1 week you put your rubbish out. Simple.
I feel like we've had quite the dressing down by Emma this evening.
I think we have.
Sorry, guys.
I think Emma is equally exasperated with both of us.
I still love you, though.
She still loves us, but I feel like she's slightly disappointed, which hurts more, doesn't it?
It does. It's always the one. We've been told what's been going on about these Christmas bin collections, but there are still many people getting in touch, equally confused like myself as to why we're not back to normal yet. Ian says, my neighbours follow my lead when it comes to the bins. They call me the binfluencer.
That's very, very good. Although I think a lot of binfluencers may be a little bit confused as to what's happening.
Say, yes.
I feel like we need a good old-fashioned World War II leaflet drop.
Yes.
Fly a couple of Lancasters over Great Britain, drop a load of leaflets with the dates on.
And then the irony is those leaflets can then be recycled on a certain date.
That's a good point. That at the bottom. And now there's a lot of confusion around flats. Mrs. Harkett's been on. She says, my daughter says the Rayleigh bins are all fine, but I can't comment on the Thundersley bins as I'm in a flat, so it's none of my business. Which follows up my other question here. Someone says, I'm Andy here from Bristol. Regarding the refuse collection, how come blocks of flats get one massive bin? They don't recycle. Why is it good for one person but not good enough for another? Just saying earlier on, go back to one big bin. Why does it work for flats?
And whilst we're opening brand new cans of worms, Denise in Milton Keynes says, whilst we're talking about things getting back to normal, how long does it take to people to put their lights down? I went past the house last night. There was a lady who still had all her Christmas lights up and on. Why?
Woof.
Judith's got in touch and says, my husband's bowels aren't back to normal after all that rich food.
Thank you.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway. Absolute Radio.
Well, let's welcome to the show what we think is going to be our secret weapon to win Dave Berry's 3-dart challenge. And that is darts coach Sean Jakes. Welcome to Home Time, Sean.
Hello, how you doing?
It's great to have you on the show. Just tell everyone a little bit about the coaching company that you run and how you got into it.
Yeah, so I'm all over social media on SJ Darts. You'll be able to find me. I am a PDPA accredited darts coach. So the PDPA is the Professional Darts Players Association. So every player that plays in the PDC has to sign up to be a member of the PDPA. And they also now run a coaching scheme. And I have been part of that coaching scheme. So I am officially accredited as a PDPA darts coach.
Now, darts is the kind of sport, I would say, that there are no barriers. I don't see why anyone couldn't pick up some darts and learn to be good. Would you agree with that, Sean?
Yes, I would agree. So I play in local darts leagues, and we have young junior players playing, we have women playing, we have young girls playing, we have old blokes at 60 playing. There really are no barriers, and anyone can do well. We could have a 14-year-old playing against an 80-year-old, and one week the 80-year-old might win and one week the 14-year-old might win. It really is, yeah, barrierless.
So we're very excited about having you on the show as our secret weapon, because Richie and I are, let's just be polite and say, at two different levels of dart skill. Richie plays a bit. I've never really thrown a dart in my life before, to be honest with you. So let's start with someone like me who hasn't got a clue, Sean. There's not that long to go until we throw our first darts with Dave and the team on The Breakfast Show. For a beginner like me, what can I do?
So what you need to be looking at is the fundamentals of a darts throw. People think picking up a dart and throwing it at a board is an easy thing to do, which in theory, yes, it is. But there's a lot of mechanics that go on with it. So I've set up this 5-point plan to get your darts throw. So you want to look at your front foot, your back foot, your head, your elbow, and your grip of the dart. If you can get those 5 points done and you can get them consistently the same every time, you will have a good darts throw and you will improve if you practice.
Now, I know you've said it's only a 5-point plan, but I can see his face right now and he just looks startled.
I remember two of the points. So that's about
so the other thing with that is that there's 5 points in this, but you also need to relax as well. So you need to take on the information, but you also need to relax and let your body be natural, because if you're not natural and you're trying to force something, that is where you will have things creep in that will cause problems.
Sean, who would be the one darts player that Bush should maybe find on YouTube to have a look at and say, there's the action?
Overall, the biomechanics of a professional darts player, you want to be looking at someone like Kevin Dootz, a player from Europe. He doesn't move. His nickname is Hawkeye. And when you
and he had a really good world championship just
he
now,
did.
Didn't
he had a
he?
Good run in the world's just gone.
Okay.
But the only thing on him that moves is his elbow. And that is exactly what you want from a throw. You don't want any other movement.
What
in
an athlete.
Your throw.
What a thing to be known for.
Exactly.
Okay, so look, I'm going to go and watch a bit of Kevin Dootz on YouTube. Yep. Right, time to give Richie some advice. Richie, how would you describe your darts experience up until this point?
Well, it's often been said by many, many people on social media that I look like the ferret, Johnny Clayton. Whenever he is on telly, I'm always like, oh, yeah, if Richie's on telly, oh, good luck. I wish I could play as well as Johnny Clayton. I don't disgrace myself, Sean, but it's fair to say Johnny would beat me.
Okay, I think Johnny would beat most players, so that's not...
He's something like the world number four, isn't he?
Yeah. So what sort of standard are we looking at? Are we hitting what you're aiming for?
Well, we're hitting the board, yes.
Okay, hitting the board. If you're aiming at a 20, are you hitting a 20? Are you hitting a 5 or the 1 either side? Or?
If I'm aiming for a 20... then I would say I'm hitting the 20 probably 4 times out of 10.
Okay. All right, that's not bad.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad. That's better than some people that play in the local league.
I think he may have slightly misoverestimated himself, but that's fine.
I would say that if I have a problem, it's that some of them drop short. As in, they go low.
Story of his life.
Are you, this is not disparaging in any way, but are you a short man?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yes.
How tall are you?
Probably 5'7".
In heels.
Okay, so not overly short.
Thank you.
So I'm really not helping this coaching session, am I?
Because quite often what you find is that shorter players can struggle with getting to the board, at the high parts of the board, so it can
loop back
down
quicker.
Could we
refer to us as players that aren't as tall?
No, so you're not in that short bracket, but 5'7".
No,
absolutely.
Thank you.
I'm 6'3", so I have the opposite problem, where I kind of throw down a lot more to the board.
Can I ask a genuine question, though? If you are quite a short player, are you allowed to bring like a step or a stool to stand on, or how does that work?
No, children are allowed to bring a step to get up to the board to get their darts out. But you know, I had to stand on them.
I don't need a step to get my darts out.
Let's take one just to be safe.
So your dropping short is possibly that you're not following through with your arm when you're throwing the dart, and you're releasing, you're almost flicking the dart out of your hand.
Please don't encourage them to follow through. I don't think I'll be able to handle this yet, honestly. Well, listen, Sean, some incredible advice. I think this is going to set us on the right track to maybe be first and second place in Dave Berry's three-dart challenge. Who knows?
Absolutely.
But Sean, if people want to know a little bit more and improve their darts, loads of people are getting into it, they can come and check you out at SJ Darts. Is that right?
Absolutely. SJDarts.com is my website. I do a lot of TikTok videos with little practice games and tips and hints on how to improve darts. Also do some little jokey stuff on there as well. So it's a light-hearted game, so we've got to have fun with it as well.
Brilliant. Well, listen, Sean Jakes, thank you so much for chatting to us here on Home Time.
Cheers, Sean.
You're very welcome. Thanks a lot, guys.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
Quick statistic for you at this point in the show. For the past 15 years, I've only had one belt. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've mentioned this before on the show. Single belt for all of my trousers. And I've used this same belt, the same kind of brown leather belt for... I've used it on suits, I've used it on smart trousers, chinos. I've used it on shorts when we've been on holiday to give that kind of Great Gatsby Abroad kind of look as well. And it kind of worked. And it's been a great servant of a belt. That belt has seen in three children. It's held my trousers up when I was warming milk up at 2 o'clock in the morning when my eldest was tiny. That belt has been to both of Everton's grounds. So far, it's been to Goodison Park, it's been to Bramley Moor Dock. But now, at the weekend, something absolutely horrific happened. Katie, my other half, has thrown it out.
Do you know what? When you were saying, I had one belt and it's been, I was sat here thinking, surely he's not about to say the belt has gone. And for it to have gone in that circumstance,
yep.
That's horrific.
So she's thrown it out and she's done that thing that I would say a lot of women do, where they pretend at the beginning they haven't thrown it out and they help you look for it,
yeah.
Even though they know. They know that they've thrown it out. So she helped me look for it and then came clean the next day on the Sunday saying, actually, I did chuck it out because she said it was a state. So I'm inconsolable because, A, this I'm now currently beltless. I have no belts in the house at all. And for the first time in nearly two decades, I'm in the position of being in the market for a belt. And I don't even know what the belt market looks like these days.
It really concerns me because I've always been very vocal about how I don't trust a man who doesn't wear a belt.
Well, as I speak to you right now, I am beltless.
That really worries me.
Anything could happen.
Really worries me.
But what? What is out there? I mean, again, you need to think about this, right? It was nearly 20 years ago when I last went to River Island and bought a belt. That belt was from River Island and it lasted a hell of a long time. But like the belt fashions now, you know how fashions change?
Yeah.
People could be wearing, what are young people wearing in the world of belts now? A snake belt still a thing? I don't know.
I got three belts. And I kind of never chuck a belt away because my waist goes up and down. So when one is retired from service, it may well come back. You just never know.
Like a Clint Eastwood in The Unforgiven.
what belt era is Richie in?
Ride back up and have a word with him one more time. So I guess I'm kind of asking for a little bit of advice here, just in terms of testing the market. Because there's people listening to this, male or female or whatever, you might have had a belt, bought a belt recently. I just want to know what kind of belt you got.
Can I also add a third way here as well?
Please.
You never know whether actually, because if you're wanting to be in fashion going forward without a belt,
uh-huh.
You never know whether the fashion is to not wear a belt, because you see the hipsters, I see a lot of braces about.
Was it braces?
Yes.
I'm not, what's this, cannon and ball?
One for the kids.
One for the kids. Rock on, Tommy. I do love the idea of finishing a meeting with Rock on Tommy with the braces, though. Yeah, there's a lot to... I'm not going to lie to you, there's a lot to process. Mm. And I feel I'm getting one of them big, like, bereavement teddies because I've lost my belt. But I'm going to move on and get a new one. So if you've got any kind of tips, what have you got right now in terms of belt, get in touch. So look, I'm going to get a new one. I'm going to have to get a new one, aren't I, this week? I just want to know what is everyone wearing? What are people wearing these days? Because I haven't been in the belt market for nearly two decades.
Now, I speculated the braces might actually be in fashion here. I read with excitement. Yes, braces are fashionable, with traditional metal braces making a cool comeback. It appears actually only the braces on your teeth
okay.
are in fashion.
So nearly there.
Yes,
but it looked
sorry.
A little bit kind of Peaky Blinders, I imagine. Someone here says, I run a small business selling belts. Stretch belts are the most popular belt I sell. They come in all colours and patterns. You just poke it through the weave. It's perfect every time. Who'd have thought that the belt market was so confusing? And I was thinking, we've got Absolute Radio Country. The brilliant, lovely people at Absolute Radio Country. Maybe I should go for one of them sheriff belts with a big buckle.
Yes, big statement belts.
That would make him look like I'm a local agent in town. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, do it. Get you down to CCC in a couple of months' time. That'd be great.
I'll be sorted.
Yes. Someone here really trying to help out. As an emergency belt to save your embarrassment, you could always get a bit of string. Weave it through. Just tie up. Saves you getting embarrassed.
Imagine me bumping into someone I haven't seen for a few years and I've got a string for a belt. Wurzel Gummidge.
One for the kids.
One for the kids.
Colin is hanging on. You got some advice for Bush?
Get a tactical belt.
A tactical belt?
Yeah, yeah, they've got the, it locks the metal mechanism at the front. You sort of loop it back on itself and you tighten it, so it's great. But, I mean, no matter if you get big or smaller, they just fit perfect.
How does as someone who's got a bit of a gut, how does a metal bracket go at the front of the belt with like your
it's
gut
not
hanging
a metal
over
bracket.
It?
It's not a metal bracket. It's like these two metal pieces slide together so they interlock, and you just press the button at the front and it unlocks.
Wow! So your belt pings open in a service station toilet. It's like
No. It's well secure.
Okay.
It's perfect.
I don't want anything too complicated, though, because, you know, if you do sometimes really need to go to the loo and you need to unbuckle, I don't want to, like,
easier. You push your button and it springs open.
Ready for action 24/7.
Ready for action.
Who's that with the filthy laugh in the car with you there?
It's my wife, Anne.
Hi, Anne.
Sorry, hi, that was funny.
I wouldn't want a filthy laugh when my belt was flinging open.
But it saves, you know when you got the buckles and everything and you're in a real rush?
Yeah.
You're trying to get it out, you know, you just push a button and it'll just separate.
Well, listen, thank you for that lovely advice. I feel like we've got to know you guys a little bit more than we wanted to, so take it easy. Good night.
Perfect.
This person who hasn't left their name says, as a fellow Evertonian, I feel obliged to help. I too went through the same scenario, had a belt for 20 years and the missus chucked it out. It hung down like spaniel's ears when I used it. Anyway, I told her favourite slippers, I actually held her, favourite slippers to ransom until the belt was replaced, and I got one I liked. It took about 3 weeks, and my pants were up and down like nobody's business. Good luck. Thank you.
Now, hearing the darts music does make me think maybe you should be called Andy the Beltless Wonder Bush or something or other.
It's insinuating something. Do you know what I mean? We've got Jess on the line, who's got an amazing belt suggestion. Jess, what do you want to say?
So I am currently wearing a belt made from upcycled motorcycle tyre.
Wow, so a belt made from upcycled motorcycle tyres, like rubber,
yeah? Yep, it is.
Now, Jess, is this because you are a biker chick, or is this because this is a particularly reputable type of belt?
Well, my husband has recently become a biker, so I thought it would be an appropriate Christmas present for him, and I liked it so much when I saw it, I had to buy one for me as well.
Oh, brilliant. So you say your husband has just recently become a biker. How does that happen? Are the Hells Angels got to him or what?
He just decided that was a thing that he wanted to do now. Did lots and lots of research, got himself a bike a few months ago, and did his CBT, all of that stuff.
I think it's always on the horizon for all of us at some point, isn't it?
Very much so.
It's either a tattoo, a bike, or a dog, no offence.
Yeah, but no, the belt's great, goes through the belt loops really nicely because it's really smooth and slick, so yeah, no, I can recommend.
Where does Bush need to go for this, this recycled motorbike tyre belt?
If you just go and look up recycled motorcycle tyre belts, you can
find it.
We've just defined out of Google to Richie.
Or other web searches are available. Yeah.
Good to know.
Brilliant. Right, lovely to meet you. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway. Absolute
Radio. There you go. There's the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. And even though we doubted him in his preamble to the idea, Richie, that was a very good idea about a trolley that goes up and down the train that's not selling food. It's actually selling stuff that you normally ask to pick up on the way home.
Yeah.
What about a booze one? But for takeaway booze. You know, sometimes you might think, oh, I'll get a bottle of something on the way up the hill, or you're going straight to someone's house, you need to get a few cans of beer or whatever. Like an off-licence wagon,
yes.
But on the train itself.
Oh, so you're talking about something almost different here. You're talking about an extra, like, bolt-on coach.
Oh, no, I mean a push-along trolley.
Oh, so you are going with the trolley as well?
Going with the trolley idea as well. But that is also, let's just pivot one more time, dear listener. That's not a bad idea. What about one of the coaches to take your push-along trolley to the next level?
Yeah.
Sainsbury's, Tesco, whatever, they have one of the carriages and it's just a big shop.
Wow.
He's got your big shop on there.
It's a great idea.
Isn't that good?
I think that's a better idea than having two competing trolleys, because otherwise those two trolleys, one starts at front of train, one starts as back.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to meet and then you can't get by.
There's a big old fight going on and everything like that as well. Yeah. Imagine that. Well, imagine, like, this show runs its natural course or whatever. Maybe, let's say, for one reason or another, we fall out of contact with each other. And then in 5 years' time, you're on your way back from working and you realise that the train has got its own food shop.
Yep.
Carriage on it, yeah. And it's called an Andy Bush food shop thing. How would you feel?
I feel really bad as I'm trying to flog stuff from Richie Firth's mobile wagon.